Good morning and welcome to ASI's Tuesday Morning Show, where ASI's most outspoken editors talk promo products. I'm Melinda Lagos, editor-in-chief of ASI's magazines, and we have a very spectacular show for you today. We have actor and activist Michael J. Fox. We recently caught up with him in an exclusive interview. Of course, Michael is going to be headlining. He's going to be keynoting at ASI San Diego on April 4th in a very special event sponsored by Warwick Publishing Company. We're going to hear from Michael J. Fox in just a few minutes. But first, wow, as I look around, I'm shocked because we have not all been in the same room.
We're all here.
Group hug.
Like since Christmas. Aww. Right?
It's true.
Kathy Houston, editor of Advantages Magazine, is here. Kathy, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Thank you. Andy Cohn, Captain Killjoy, is here. Andy missed out on fantastic ASI Orlando last week. Aww. Record-breaking show. Best attendance at ASI Orlando.
Sounds like fun.
Ever.
It was great.
We got to hook up with James Carville and Bill O'Reilly. I hooked up with both of them at the same time.
Oh, wow. Whoa.
They were on stage in a great debate. Maybe we could talk about that in a little bit. And someone even came up and asked for Captain Killjoy.
Like, here he is.
They were fans. You were his favorite radio personality, which really was perplexing to a lot of us.
I cannot be surprised by
Joe Haley's here, everybody's favorite managing editor. Joe, you were running around the show floor in Orlando.
Yes.
What were some cool products that you saw?
Some of the cool parts. Ooh, I saw this thing. It's called the Tank Tongue. It'll be on today's Joe
Tank
Show.
Tank Tongue?
Tank Tongue.
Oh, my God. You love that thing.
It's
I'm not
so
really
simple.
Sure what that could be.
Well, you'll have to watch the Joe Show today. Also, I'd like this 3D mask from Web Company. It's just, look at Michelle's looking at me. She saw me.
It's so creepy.
It's creepy. It's like it's got holes in it. It's got like a person's face on it. But when you put it on, it meshes with your face and gives this 3D effect. And I had a Gary Busey one. And it's
no
awesome.
Wonder it's creepy. Because everybody needs a Gary Busey
but
mask. I'm sure
you know
about
what?
That.
I went through the new Advantages new product showcase. It's all redesigned.
It's not
it's
called
awesome.
That anymore. It's the ASI new product showcase.
However, the lovely editor of an Advantages magazine is in a ginormous video talking the whole time at the show.
Oh, on a loop.
On a loop.
And you looked fantastic.
I love that it's constant.
Anyway, I found over 25 new products in that showcase alone.
Oh, well, that it is
a lot
the
of
new
cool
product
stuff.
Showcase.
It
so
is.
That's a good thing. Michelle Bell, you were in Orlando in all of your glory.
I was,
just
but
off
before
the heels
that,
of PSI, right?
Yes, I was in Dusseldorf, and I'd like to give a shout out. We have some fans in England, so wave to them. Alistair Mielchrist and Liz Young from Sourcing City.
Alistair?
Alistair.
Sounds very British.
Yes. And they are big fans of the show, and again, especially of Captain Killjoy and Andy Cohen.
Wow, I guess it pays
rock
to be
on.
So
international star.
And Sourcing City, we have developed some new cool partnerships with them. And if you go on ASICentral.com, I think Tim Andrews, our president CEO, is blogging about that today.
He is. And my blog from PSI will be posted today, courtesy of our friend Vinny Driscoll. And there are photos of Alistair and Liz and tons of other European celebs. So check that out.
Cool.
Now, Michelle, the trade show floor was packed in ASI Orlando. And I know that you were doing a very special project involving who had the best booth. Tell us about that.
There were three best booth awards. The best large booth went to Spirit Industries, who had this castle display. That
it was not a castle. Spirit the cheer products, it was a stadium.
Okay, it looked like a castle. But anyway, and it was based on distributor text voting, which was really cool.
Oh,
so
they could walk around
and do
see
text
something
voting.
They like
and
that.
The best small booth went to a company called Babbel. And
what was good about their booth?
It was just really cool, and they actually are a text-based company, so I think they kind of rallied a lot of the people who came to their booth to use texting.
What do they?
They do text marketing.
Oh, okay.
And the best wearables booth went to Sanmar, which really had quite a stunning booth.
Oh, cool. They always have a pretty cool,
they do.
Cool
they
display.
Do.
Well, we're going to do that again in
we
ASI
are.
Dallas next week, guys.
Oh, my
everybody
God.
Ready to get back on a plane?
Wow, no.
So anyone who's in Dallas next week can go around and participate and vote on their favorite trade show booth. All right, Joe, what else is on tap for today's show besides our very exciting interview with Michael J. Fox?
Well, why women are the afterthought to tech marketers, and I think that Michelle might have some insight on that.
We're not
but
out.
Actually,
I'm gonna.
Kathy's doing the story, but Michelle might have some insight as to why they might be forgetting about her because she's not so tech savvy.
Who could forget about Michelle? Not me.
We try. The resurgence of the auto market, I think it's going to be one of the top 10, top 5 this year, Andy?
For sure.
Yep.
Okay, you don't seem so enthused about it. Five social media tricks you
rock
need
on
to
auto.
Use now. Michelle has a look at that. Some employers turn to quirky perks for workers, and you know, I have a look at that. We have our favorite things, some other things we might get a chance. If I have a chance, I have something to get off my chest today.
Uh-oh.
But we'll start it all off with the industry news in 60 seconds. Andy.
All right. Thank you, Joe. We begin this morning with breaking news. The CPSC announced last night that it is recalling two expandable lunch tote products from manufacturer California Innovations. The products, which were made in China, are hazardous because leaking freezer gel can harm adults or children if ingested. Check out Promogram today for details. News of industry sales growth. A new ASI survey shows that distributors increased their revenues by 6.2% in 2011. Study also shows that distributor sales jumped by 6.5% in the fourth quarter of 2011, marking the seventh consecutive quarter of gains for industry firms. The total 2011 increase brings the industry annual revenues to $18.5 billion. On to general advertising news now. A new study from online research firm eMarketer shows that U.S. online ad spending is projected to reach $40 billion this year. This pushes digital marketing ahead of ad spending on print newspapers and magazines. Plus, Counselor is currently looking for nominations for its Best Cone Humanitarian of the Year Award. Know somebody who goes above and beyond for charitable efforts? Send me an email at acohen@asicentral.com. And finally, make sure to check out the latest episode of The Joe Show and Promogram today. Joe, what's hot for today?
We have five leftovers from ASI Orlando.
Leftovers?
Things I just couldn't
actual
get to
food?
Them. Not food, Andy. Oh. Products.
Gotcha.
Products. Great stuff.
We look forward to that.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Andy and Joe. Now the moment we've all been waiting for. Andy and Kathy caught up with Michael J. Fox just a few days ago. Of course, he's going to be our big keynoter in ASI San Diego, April 4th, and that's going to be sponsored by Warwick Publishing. But let's listen to what Michael had to say.
All right, joining us now on ASI Radio is Michael J. Fox, actor and activist, who will be a keynote speaker at our ASI show in San Diego on April 4th. Michael is the author of Always Looking Up, The Adventures of an Incurable Optimist. He has been an inspirational and influential voice in the medical research community since being diagnosed with Parkinson's disease at the age of 29. Michael J. Fox, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Nice to be with you.
All right, Michael, so just to start out, how did you first react upon being diagnosed with Parkinson's disease at such a young age?
Well, it was a complete shock to me, and I was also kind of, those are heady days, and my career was doing really well, and I had a young family, and I was really at a place where I felt kind of invincible, which is the first sign that things are probably not the way they appear. So that kind of arrogance of youth was shattered by this diagnosis. I had a twitch in my pinky that I noticed when I was on location doing Doc Hollywood, and over the course of the following year, it just continued to grow and extended to involve my hand, my arm, my shoulder. And so I knew something was wrong, and went to a neurologist and did a series of tests, and he diagnosed me. And my initial reaction was, you know, people always say it's one of two things, it's why me or why not me. And for me, it was really, I just thought it was just BS. I just couldn't accept it. But it took me a long time. It took me about 7 years. I call it my 7 years in the wilderness to really get to where I could disclose it publicly and felt I knew enough about it and understood it enough and internalized it enough that I could deal with it in a public way.
Hey, Michael, what does it take to successfully battle a disease like Parkinson's while also becoming a force for change and charity?
Well, I think first I had to, like I said, I had to kind of deal with my own situation first and understand what was happening to my body and to my brain and what was happening in my life and learn as much as I could about the condition, talk to have a relationship with my doctors, concentrate on what meds were best for me and really kind of be thorough in that. And then I started to reach out and look on the internet and go to websites and chat rooms where Parkinson's patients exchanged ideas and experiences, and that emboldened me to as I said, to first disclose it in 1998, and then in 2000 when I left Spin City to then start the foundation and really try to push for a cure.
So when you were in chat rooms, did you say who you were, or were you anonymous?
I was anonymous. I was a lurker.
Yeah.
And you know, now it's progressed so much since then, but it was really an amazing thing when I told Barbara Walters in People Magazine, which I would say if you want to get a secret out there, tell Barbara Walters.
We'll take you up on that.
When I kind of did that 1-2 punch in 98 and said that I had this since 91, at first I was really, I really had second thoughts, and I thought, no, I've left the genie out of the bottle and I can't put it back in, and it's going to change the way people perceive me, and I'm not going to be able to do my job. And then I noticed after about 3 days, it stopped being about me and it started being about Parkinson's, and there was a real conversation starting not only in the Parkinson's community, not only online in those chat rooms, but in the wider media, in the wider world, and in the diners and the coffee tables and the kitchen tables across the country about what Parkinson's was. And I saw that was really an opportunity to change the way that we approach disease and the way patients approach disease. Patient communities, we're kind of taught to, we're conditioned to expect things to fall from the sky, and that there's some brilliant people that are smarter than us that are working it out, and when they get it together, they'll come and tell us, and then we'll be better. But it doesn't work that way. Patients have to, this is the second part in answer to your question. What I realized was patients have to be agents in change, that we have to be part of the process, and we have to push and get people together and say, why aren't you talking to this person? And pharma, why aren't you talking to government? And government, why aren't you talking to academia? And why aren't you sharing ideas? And patients, why aren't you getting involved in clinical trials? And if we want this machine to move, we got to put gas in it, and we got to push it up down the hill and jumpstart it and get it going. And that all came from I think owning my situation and saying this is my reality, and what choices do I have? The only choice I don't have is whether everything else is up to me. And I encourage the patient community to have the same attitude and to not accept projections of other people on you. Like, what other people think you're experiencing doesn't mean anything next to what you are actually experiencing.
Right. So
it's been a real rich area for me.
Now, in your work, you often cite the acting rule of thumb, which is don't play the result. So what does that mean, and how is that a good tactic for working through difficult situations?
Well, it's funny. It's what I was just referring to, this idea that a diagnosis is a finality, is an expression of your fate, and that you are doomed to follow a kind of a marked path to a stage of disability beyond anything you can overcome, and it's really not that way. I mean, life is one day at a time, and one moment at a time, and one decision at a time, and one reaction at a time, and we have lots of time to affect change, and don't play the result is, it's like you said, it's an acting rule, which means you let a scene play out, and you don't, just because you've read the script and you know where it ends, it doesn't mean you have to play it that way. You can play it any way you want, and so that's to me, it's a great lesson, and it applies to everything in life. That don't just go for what you think is the way things are supposed to be. That you have a chain, you have an ability and a responsibility to change things for the better if you can.
Great points. Michael, like you, many people in business are forced to overcome different obstacles as well and keep themselves motivated. So what single piece of advice would you give to a person who's trying to overcome either a major personal or professional challenge?
Well, there's a story that I tell my kids. A long time ago, about 5 years ago, I read a piece in the New York Times, a news story about floods in Africa, in Mozambique. And there was this one particular village was being washed away, and the floods were just horrendous, and the waters were roiling and sweeping away houses and villagers, and there was one woman who was pregnant. She was actually in labor, and she managed to grab a hold of a tree branch as she was being washed away, and she didn't play the result, which the result would be that she would drown and her baby would drown, but she grabbed this tree branch and she climbed into the tree and she had the baby in the tree. And she delivered the baby herself, and a while later she was rescued by a helicopter with the baby and the umbilical cord still attached. And the reason I tell that story is whenever anyone comes to me with a problem, my first reaction is always, A lady had a baby in a tree. What do you got? There's nothing that you can imagine that you can't find a way to overcome. If you just live in the second, be in the moment, look at what's around you, see if there's a tree branch, see if current's taking you that way, see if you have to fight the current going another way. But take responsibility for that decision and know that no result is set in stone. You have choices and you have options, and you can climb up that tree if you have to.
So last year, Michael, you displayed your comedic side a little bit when you guest starred on Curb Your Enthusiasm. Since humor is often a great tool for dealing with adversity, what's your advice for using humor when motivating employees or trying to get people through what might be difficult times?
Well, I think to me, you know, people often ask me what scares me. Does my condition scare me? Does certain societal problems scare me? And I say, no, the thing that scares me is people who don't have a sense of humor. They're the most dangerous people in the world.
Right.
Humor is essential, and it's essential. Humor, it's no coincidence to me. I mean, I'm sure there's some kind of Latin connection between humor and humility. Humor is a way to express humility. It's a way to express humanity. It's a way to express I'm fallible. I can make fun of myself. I can take myself less seriously. And if you can do that, I think you can do that and still inspire confidence and still inspire respect from the people that work with you and under you. But at the same time, like I said, it maintains your humanity and your humility to be able to laugh at yourself and to see humor in situations. And it's sometimes it's a jumping off point. It's like saying, okay, well, this is a disaster. Now, what do we do? And try to look at things from both sides. I always say that there's a funny side of everything. Mm-hmm. Any situation has a funny side, and there's truth on that side too. The lessons aren't just learned on the serious side. The lessons can be learned on the funny side too. I mean, I look at guys like Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert, who managed to impart news and information in a satirical way and deal with serious themes. And so it can be done, and it can be done in the workplace, too. I think just as I said, having humor and humility and looking at things from a point of view of what we all understand, what we all share, what we all see as being funny or being part of the human experience.
So the message is don't waste any time spending time with unfunny people?
Well, just beware.
Right.
Just beware. Okay. So let's move from humor to happiness, Michael. In your opinion, do people need to first find happiness with their personal lives before they can be successful in business?
I think so. I mean, I don't know. I've never been a business person, just strictly speaking. I always joke that I'm not an MBA, I'm not an MD, I'm not a PhD, I'm a GED with PD and a SAG card. So I'm not no expert on business, but I think that happiness is central to success in anything. I think it's a sense of knowing yourself, of having reasonable expectations for yourself, and also striving and being aspirational. And I think happiness comes from aspiration and recognizing new goals every day and new things to reach for and new relationships to establish and just new things to learn. And that's key to it. And if you're doing that, then you're moving forward. And if you're moving forward in business, you're generally on a successful track.
Absolutely.
Now, Michael, before we let you go, we want to ask you a question that we ask to all the people we interview. As the head of a charity and a foundation, you must have some favorite promotional products. So what are your favorite promo items that you have laying around your home or office?
Well, I said this before. I'm a frustrated golfer. So I have all kinds of great golfing swag and you know, and balls with you know. I always say to advertisers, if you want me to spread your message, put your message on a golf ball because I send about 30 of them out all over the place.
But they end up in ponds.
They end up in ponds, but they get scooped out and they get resold.
There you go.
By the greenkeepers, and so your product, your business will be advertised by my errant ball. But of course I have lots of T-shirts and material that I get in my relationships with companies and groups and it's important to see obviously with philanthropy just that seeing a logo that you recognize associated with an event that you're attending or a charity you're involved in is, I think, really valuable and really important. And then those mementos and those keepsakes and those pieces of equipment, those golf raincoats or those umbrellas or those items, I think really, really mark a connection between companies and people and charities. And I think it's important that people, express their involvement and companies express their connection to things.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Michael J. Fox, thanks very much for your time on the show today, and we look forward to seeing you in San Diego on April 4th.
I love it. I love it when it's warm.
Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you.
Well.
All right, there you have it. Andy and Kathy's interview with Michael J. Fox. He's one of my favorite interviewees.
I know.
He's one of the most optimistic guys that we've ever, I think, talked to on the show. And,
yeah.
You know, with one of the, most,
toughest challenges.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I love what he says about humor, too.
He's great.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the idea of people taking themselves too seriously, hampers them.
It usually does. Biz Stone said the same thing.
Too. That's exactly right.
You know, I'm going to borrow what he said about having the baby in the tree. Anyway, a
lady had a baby in a tree. What do you got? That's what he said. That's
totally.
Great.
I mean, that works for practically any complaining situation in the workplace.
That's our standard line now.
I'm going to use that. I borrow lots of great stuff from our keynoters.
Uh-huh. I expect to hear that later.
Well, you can hear way more from Michael J. Fox on April 4th, ASI San Diego, and a keynote sponsored by Warwick Publishing. You know, there's all kinds of opportunities too to get early admission to a show to get a signed copy of his book. So go to asishow.com, mm-hmm. Find out how you can meet Michael J. Fox. I can't wait to see him again.
I
met him in Orlando last year,
yeah.
And again, he's one of my favorites. So
mine too.
I'm looking forward to it.
Me too.
I'm glad.
I
talked to him a lot last week, actually.
Yes, in fact, you also had a more extensive interview with him because he's going to be the cover boy. The next Counselor issue.
That's right.
So you can
the
read more
March
about
issue
him
of
in
Counselor.
The March issue. Check it out.
You bet.
CounselorMag.com. But it's not up yet.
No, don't go there yet.
Well, you can go there. You just won't see Michael J. Fox.
You won't see Michael J. Fox.
All right. Well, we're going to skip over a few things because Michelle has some social media tricks that we need to use now, apparently.
yes,
Michelle,
you woke her
social
up.
Media. You don't like Facebook, I know, but you are a terrific tweeter, Michelle.
Well, thank you.
Terrific
you've got
tweeter.
A great
I've
blog.
Been tweeting since we've been sitting here.
So, what are your tricks?
Well, these are some tricks.
What are her tricks?
Experts
I want to know all
recommend.
Of your tricks, Michelle.
Experts suggest to if someone to retweet things that other people send. Because it's a good way to kind of express reciprocity. They will retweet your messages if you retweet
uh-huh.
theirs. So it's just a way to kind of pass along the message. Another thing is to express Facebook gratitude. Perhaps those of you on Facebook know what this means. You can say thank you to your company's Facebook fans, post comments on walls.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that means, but
trust
sounds
us.
Nice.
We do that.
Graffiti.
Okay. Also, here's a really good tip. Because there's so much clutter during the work week, post things on weekends.
No.
So that's a way to get your message across to people.
Kath, you can be quiet for this portion of the show. Thanks. Go ahead.
So a nice mix of business and personal things, but if you want to get your message across, try doing it on a weekend. And just spend a little bit of time, tweet things about your business. Not all business, of course,
right.
But take carve out maybe an hour on the weekend and do that. And, experts say that you'll have a better chance of getting your message heard.
I have a question about that retweeting. Do you just hit the retweet button, or do you do the RT in front of people?
And we're looking to Vinny Driscoll right now.
No, you could.
You just hit the retweet.
And RT shows up. But you could also type in a comment about it.
Yeah.
When you retweet.
Right. Check this out.
Oh yeah, I'm well versed in the Twitter.
In the Twitter.
So we will post these on our website
at asicentral.com/radio.
That's the one.
All right, Joe.
Yes.
Some employees turn to quirky perks for workers. What kind of quirky perks?
Say that.
Are people giving
fast.
Out?
Unique 2012 perks: pet insurance.
I love that.
Yeah, you have two cats. And they
do you want
cost
pet
you a lot of money.
I have a cat with AIDS.
Do you have what?
Feline AIDS.
Isn't I can use that.
It's the number one color of cats.
That just stopped the show for a moment.
All right, let's move on.
Meditation services. Someone comes to help you meditate at your desk. And funeral planning. It seems a little creepy, but it's expensive.
For your own funeral or other people's?
I'd like to plan other people's.
It's probably for either.
So why are companies doing this? Companies
do plan their own.
Yeah.
Absolutely, people plan their
own. I realize that, but...
Who here has a will?
Me.
Okay, that's good. You guys down there, look at them.
No wills?
Who here has a funeral plot?
No.
Very good.
I actually do because my family bought a whole.
Why 20 of them? Why does it do? You want to saddle your kids with that expense?
All right. My kids will get plenty of life insurance.
Just cremate me and put me on the mantle.
Okay.
Go ahead. What's next?
Okay, so companies are creating this to placate overworked employees who've been suffering heavy workloads and salary cuts. And they're doing this as because it won't eat up your budget. It doesn't cost a lot of money. And also some of the benefits they get from buying in bulk. So if you can get a lot of people to buy the pet insurance, it doesn't cost that much money. They offer to make employees feel valued and to help balance their work-life situation. So other perks are free theme park tickets. Wouldn't that be nice?
We have discounts.
Okay. Cell phone plan discounts, yoga lessons, adoption assistance. That's a huge thing. And this one company offers free concierge services. So someone will come and work. We'll drop off your dry cleaning. We'll make hotel reservations for you. We'll take your car to the garage. Wouldn't that be fabulous? So it's just a way
24/7.
It's just a way to recognize your employees. It's not going to break the bank and kind of being creative in 2012.
All right, well, check out asicentral.com/radio to find out more quirky work perks. All right, Andy?
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. Do anything to catch people's attention when you're recruiting. I think that's great.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Perfect.
We have just enough time in this show for our editors to tell us their favorite products of the week. And Kathy, we're going to start with you.
Well, you know, plenty of puppies need meds, right? And cats and all those little pets that we just talked about.
And insurance.
Well, yeah, and insurance. But Bay State Specialties has new pet pill boxes, including a bone-shaped version. And they have day of the week and stuff on them for whatever your little puppy needs. But they would be great for vets, pet groomers, dog shows, kennels, pet sitters, etc. And like I said, it's from Bay State, 38980. Go ahead.
Oh, you're throwing it to me now.
Andy.
We're going clockwise.
Thanks, Kathy. Mine is a messenger bag that features built-in battery and ports and pockets to charge a host of tech devices. And this is precisely what I needed last week when I flew to California, because I think I needed a bag to check just for all of the power cords that I brought with me. It was insane. With me and my family, it was about, I think, 10 different power cords. So we either need to power down or get fewer devices. But this bag comes from Power Sales and Advertising, and that's ASI 79083.
Joe Haley, what's your favorite product of the week?
This is the Spotless Swing. It's a golf towel. It comes with a carabiner you can attach to your golf bag. You wipe your hands and your face on the outside. You wipe your clubs up top here to dry them off. And there's also a little micro mesh thing here that will help clean out the golf club grooves.
And this one is emblazoned with the
Joe
Show
logo.
Yes,
look at that. Great logo. Isn't it a great logo? And it's got a little grommet here at the bottom so you can attach other things to this. It's great for golf tournaments.
Like
it's a tea gift. And it's also good for golf teams, golf clubs, pro shops, et cetera, as Kathy would say.
No, I like that.
Very cool.
That's good.
Michelle, what's your favorite product of the week?
Okay, Kathy and I were apparently on the same page because mine is from Bay State Specialties as well and for the pet market.
Ooh.
And mine is a scooper, which is used quite a lot in my house for monkey and mouse. But the reason I like it is because there's a nice big imprint area, and you can give them to pet groomers, you can give them to vets, pet sitters. And again, it's from Bay State Specialties, 38980. And it comes in a lot of different colors, which is
Bay
really
Bay State
neat.
Is on a roll this
they're
week.
They're awesome.
All right. Apparently, they're cornering the pet market.
That's right.
We are out of time today. Thanks, to everyone, for listening. Be sure to actually come and see us next week, right, at ASI Dallas, which starts on Wednesday. In the meantime, check out our show next week. It's going to be our 200th show. So,
woohoo!
Yay for
our
us.
200th
Party.
Anniversary.
Look how old
Party
we are.
Next week.
Sound effects?
All right. Anyway, thanks for listening today. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you next week.